For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Live from the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center in New York City, it's Evan and Tiki. Now, here's Evan Roberts and Tiki Barber.
What's going on? We took a Friday afternoon in the summer and we went to the Javits Center. And I'll tell you, this place is very, very interesting. I've been here for about 2.5 hours. We were watching people come through a WWE entrance. I'm so sick of everybody loving Cody Rhodes. My God.
Why do you hate Cody Rhodes?
Every kid is like, I got to be Cody, Cody,
I thought you were
Cody.
A Cody fan yourself.
Nah, I'm sick of him.
Are you a Cody crybaby?
No, you're a Cody
crybaby. I'm not a Cody crybaby. I don't even care.
My son is a Cody. Are you a Cody crybaby, Bijet?
No.
No, he's not. He just likes him. Well, we are live from the Javits Center. It's Fanatics Fest 2024. It is Evan and Tiki. We are here live until 6 o'clock today. Good to see everybody. Let me just get something off my chest, all right? And I don't know how you feel about this. I don't give a crap who throws out the first pitch at Mets games. I want to make that perfectly clear. I don't care.
We didn't make that big of a deal of it yesterday.
Okay,
Evan.
Good. I'm just making sure, but I know a lot of my fellow brethren are.
I was just disappointed that Zach Diassi, a 2-time Super Bowl champion,
yeah, right?
Got overshadowed by someone else. I won't even mention her name, Haley.
I didn't even know Zach Diassi threw out the first pitch.
Exactly. That's my point.
Well, let me tell you a secret. The Mets have about 5 different people throw out first pitches before games. True story. They've got like 5-6 people. I do not care, but I'll tell you what I do care about. What I care about, and I'm going to equate this to the IC Ghost game. You guys remember the IC Ghost game where the New York Jets got destroyed by the New England Patriots?
Yes, I do.
So
they'll never live it down, Sam Darnold.
What bothered me about that game is the Jets got their ass kicked by the New England Patriots. And that's bad enough. That's bad enough. But what I didn't like is the fact that we were laughed at by everybody as it was happening. And my attitude the next day was, it's bad enough my team stinks. It's bad enough my team got beat by the Patriots. Why do I have to be laughed at while it's happening? Can't I just lose in anonymity? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yesterday, as I'm on my deathbed at home, and thank you guys for stepping up while I was out, I'm watching the Mets blow a 5-run game to the Oakland A's. And it's bad enough when they lost. It's bad enough when they blew the game. It's bad enough when they lost the series to the Oakland A's. Then every news agency is covering the New York Mets because of who threw out the first pitch and how they blew a lead. That's what bothered me.
Why is it
bothering you? Why can't we just suck in anonymity? Why can't we just lose without everybody paying attention? Does that make sense, T?
It makes perfect sense, but it makes it more fun.
Excuse
to
me?
Lose with attention.
Oh, does it?
To lose with mocking surrounding you as well. That,
really?
That's basically what would happen. If it wasn't an LOL Met moment, then nobody would have moted. Nobody would have cared. We actually probably would have talked about Zach Diassi and how the giant juju got put on the Mets, and they won an important game, an important series against the A's. Not that it was really important, because they should have won it.
It was important.
I don't know, but I'm saying they should have won it. So
yes,
it shouldn't have been that important. It should have been routine. But you know what I mean. Of course, it just adds into what has happened all season long. The Mets are finding ways to be subpar when it matters most.
No, and they did yesterday. And that was the sucky part. Like, yesterday, if you're a Met fan, forget about all the hoopla about who threw out the first pitch. That was the worst loss of the season. I don't even think there's a debate. You could take any other loss they had this season where they blew games or it was in Miami. No matter what it was, yesterday's loss, blowing a 5-run lead to the Oakland A's, not being able to hit from the 5th inning on, having the bullpen blow a lead, having Jose Quintana walk 155 people, like, that was the worst loss the Mets had all season. And they are now in a very tough spot as they take on the Marlins this weekend. And I don't like being made fun of. You know what? I dealt with that enough in middle school and high school. Like, I just want to lose in anonymity. So do I have an issue with the New York Mets having to throw out the first pitch?
Haley.
Well, oh,
Haley.
That's fine. Haley. I don't care. Sure, that's the thing. I don't care. And I'm sure she's a wonderful person. She's doing great charity for, like, vet dogs and all that.
That's right.
But that's not the point. The point is, when I open the Fox News Channel app, I just want to read about the election. I don't want to read about, can you believe what the Mets did? Like, that's what bothers me. I don't need that. Don't need that as Mets fans.
No, you can't stop that now, though, Evan.
What?
Because this whole Met Magic carpet ride of a season has been built on moments like that.
Facts.
Grimace, your second baseman coming up with a song that's going to go platinum.
Facts.
A rally pimp.
Facts.
And everything else in between. It was all good when the going was good, but suddenly the Mets pulled a stunt, and they lose a game, and it's their worst loss of the year. Now it's, I don't want to open up any app and read about this when Grimace has been force-fed down everybody's mouth for 2 months.
All the Mets had to do was win, and husbands around the country.
That's right.
In New York, at least, would have been very happy. Very, very happy.
You were very disappointed when they went to the bedroom.
Well, you are right about that. Like, if the Mets would have won yesterday's game, I would be at very much a lot of peace today. I wouldn't care. I would mock everybody that's crying about who threw out the first pitch, saying it's all kind of fake outrage because no one's really that upset about it. But instead, the Mets have been laughed at for 13 hours. Like, do you guys understand that?
Of course we do.
Like, Keith McPherson, who's here, and I love you, Keith, could not have had more fun last night. And I don't blame you. You smart. By the way, he's wearing a Mets jersey. That's my guy right there. Like, we are just a joke. And I don't know. Maybe it's because of who I am, being a redheaded loser who's dealt with this my whole life.
Your words.
Certainly
I don't like being made fun of constantly. Can't we just be a mediocre baseball team that blew a game to the Oakland A's instead of a mediocre baseball team that blew a game to the Oakland A's and ha ha ha, LOL Mets, can you believe what they did? Tone deaf, offensive, disgusting. Like, that just drives me nuts. And that's what he bothered me even more about yesterday's
loss. Can you do
loss.
Some research and find out who's throwing out the first pitch tonight?
Here's the truth, T. So I'm going to the game
tonight. I know. That's why I'm asking.
I'm feeling better enough to go to the game tonight. I'm taking Jet to go to the game tonight. We do not care who's throwing out the first pitch.
Unless you do. That's the problem.
Unless you do.
You don't care unless you do.
You don't. That's actually a good, put that on a t-shirt.
Of course.
I don't care unless I do.
Exactly. Because everybody cares. Nobody should have cared,
right.
But everybody cared.
If Nick Claxton throws out the first pitch, you're going to care.
I would very much care, yes. Yes. If Tiki Barber threw out the first pitch, I'd care.
Oh, I'd throw a strike, too.
It's just, I'm sure you would.
78 miles an hour, right down the middle.
It's just, I'm not going to give you fake outrage that I'm offended or angry or I can't explain to Jet who threw out. Watch this. I got my 8-year-old son with me. He's actually 7, but he's almost 8. Watch this. I'm going to show all the parents out there how to handle this. Jet, can you do me a favor and say, hey, who threw out the first pitch yesterday at Citi Field?
Me.
Say into the microphone, who threw out dad, who threw out the first pitch at the Met game yesterday?
I don't know.
No. I was asking you to ask me, but that's okay. Dad, who threw out the first pitch?
I'll do. Hey, Dad, who threw out the first pitch yesterday?
Somebody on the internet. Any other questions?
Who on the internet? I'm on the internet. Can I find her?
No, she's viral for something stupid. Keep on going.
How stupid?
I actually don't know. I'm a 40-year-old man. I don't pay attention to this stuff.
Can I ask Mommy what she said?
Sure, she'll have no idea either. Did you see how we parent? It's called ignorance. That's how we parent. We don't have to explain everything. So I don't want to hear this, oh my God, what do I tell my son? What do I tell my daughter? Here's what you tell them. Lie to them. Is it okay that sometimes I lie to you, son? He's not paying attention. This is the best part.
Right.
All right. But that, so I'm not even bothered by that.
Oh, are we doing that? Jet. The Jets made the playoffs last year.
No, that kind of lie.
Oh, okay, sorry.
don't do those kinds of lies.
My bad.
The point is, I want the Mets to find a way to, if they're going to lose, and if they're going to collapse, and if they're going to miss the playoffs, and spoiler alert, they're going to do all of that, to do it in the anonymity of not becoming a national joke. That's what bothered me yesterday. Because for all of us diehards, and I see a few of you guys out there, You're mostly embarrassed to wear your Met jerseys these days. We all can cry together while doing the Rico Bronya. We don't need Sean Hannity to mock us too at 9:30 at night. We don't need Keith, Aliana, I love you, to do 5 hours mocking us. So can't we just stink without becoming a national punchline? That's all I ask.
We kind of needed Keith to do 5 hours on it, to be honest with you, though.
Did he actually do 5 hours? Did he do
was
5 hours?
Was it a full
hours?
Five on the Met stuff or
how
not?
Many no, hours? No. Dylan Betances was on, too.
I love that guy.
All the breaks, it was like 3 hours. Now, it was only a little bit.
Let me get to the important stuff. And the important stuff is, are we screwed? Are we dead? And I think back to something that's very, very important. About a week ago, I got really, really drunk doing a drunk Rico. Now, if my son asks me what's drunk, I'll say that's something you're not doing until, you know, you're 25 years old. But while I was doing that, 25. I'm giving him a 40.
Come on. 16.
4 years now.
Right.
A 4 year kind of layover.
He's got like 8.5 years, you know that, right?
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, big time, dude.
What are you talking about? He's 8 years old.
We're becoming more like Europe.
Yeah. We're going to start drinking when we're 16?
Absolutely.
I was puking.
Everybody in this audience had a drink when they were 16.
No doubt.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Yeah. They're all raising their hands.
You know
guaranteed.
You know what may be smart about that, though? By giving a kid a drink when they're 16?
They might not like it.
They may not like
That's
it.
That's a great point.
Yep. I'll never have a Zima again.
Hell, you might have to do it earlier. Hey, 10-year-old, you want a drink?
Maybe tonight at the Met game. But while I was doing a drunk Rico, I realized that I'm the kind of drunk that just is very, very honest. And what I said a week ago was, deep down, we all know the truth about the New York Mets. And deep down, the truth is, they're not making the playoffs. Deep down, the truth is, they're not that good. Deep down, the truth is, they'll find a way to tease us and take it away from us.
Yeah, but Evan,
and as we sit here, am I wrong?
Isn't everybody that way, though, this year? Isn't every team disappointing at some point? Isn't every team fantastic, the best team in whatever length of period you want to talk about? Every team is that team this year. The problem is, the Mets got off to such a bad start that they can't afford to be mediocre right now. And so they're mediocre right now, and it's killing them. It's hurting their chances of making the postseason. But that doesn't mean that someone else isn't going to be in the exact same spot in a week and a half or 2 weeks, and they charge their way back into it. And so it's easy to get negative when things are going this badly. But
right.
You got to realize this is every single team.
So
now, the Padres and the Diamondbacks are defying that right now for the last month. But for the most part, but the Mets had that a month ago. You know what I mean? So I know what you're saying. It's too easy to sit here and declare the Mets are out of it, they're done. Just like Lugie did last week when it was the Lugauer show and I was just kind of hanging on for a couple of sound bites here and there.
I thought Lugie Lightning was good.
Yeah, well, I'm joking. But you know what I mean. Last week, the Mets were all in. They were good. They were making it.
Well,
how can this week they're done? They're dead.
They have
no chance.
They're not done. There is not no chance. I didn't say any of that stuff. Like,
but it sounded like to me.
No.
Didn't you guys hear that?
Done and no chance?
That's what it sounded like you said.
No, I said deep down we know the truth.
That sounds like done and no chance.
No, that doesn't mean that tonight.
Why are you parsing words, man?
No, I'm not parsing words. I'll tell you the difference. When I'm at the building tonight with my son,
yes,
I'm going to be scoreboard watching the Atlanta Braves. They're in Anaheim against the Angels. I'm going to be thinking about the math. I'm going to be thinking about how they're only two games out. And deep down, I'm going to hope that I'm wrong. I'm going to hope that we're all wrong. I'm going to hope the Mets are going to sweep Miami, that they're going to sweep Baltimore, and they're going to get red hot. But deep down, I think it took me a long time to get to the reality. And the reality is actually something you've said for a while, which is they're average. Mm-hmm. And that's what average teams do.
Right.
You brought up all these other teams that have flaws. Yeah, everybody's got flaws. I just don't think the Mets are good enough to be one of those teams that gets to the postseason. That's the problem. So I'm not giving up. I'm not telling you with two games out, they're dead. I'm just telling you that drunk Evan a week ago, I revealed the honesty of, deep down, we all know what this team's going to do. And I think drunk Evan is the most honest Evan.
Yeah.
Is the one that can see things in the clearest eyes. And so don't mistake what I think is going to happen with me giving up.
All right, this
I'm not
is, this
throwing
is,
in the towel.
This
I'm
is,
just giving you the reality that I don't think they're that good.
This is what you wrote to us. I don't know how long ago this was. You were here probably 2 hours ago, and you're walking around here saying, this place is awesome. And you said to us, this reminds me that I love sports and nothing else. You know he said that? I love sports and nothing else. Or something like that.
I think you read that incorrectly,
no,
but that's okay.
That's what it sounded like. So you sound like the sport fan who wants to lower his expectations so that when it actually does happen, you feel really great.
No.
You come from like the phoenix rising from his death. That's what you're setting yourself up to. I'm going to have the negative mindset from here on out, and then when we actually make it, I'll feel amazing.
No.
Like you're hedging. You're hedging
so much. I'm not hedging anything. I'm telling you that sometimes it takes a while to realize what you're watching. All year long, you've basically been steady that they're average. The Mets are mediocre. Right. They're a slightly above 500 team.
They are evaluating.
Okay, that's the reality of what they are. Like, they're a slightly above 500 team.
Of course.
That's what they've been like for a month and a half. That's what they've mostly been this season. So what I'm telling you is, when I was drinking a week ago, and when I was watching the just disaster that was the embarrassment of last night, not only blowing a game to Oakland, but being made fun of nationally, it just becomes clear that the Mets aren't a bad team. They're just an average, mediocre team. And that doesn't mean I'm giving up. It doesn't mean I'm going to skip going to the game tonight or skip going to Sunday's game or Monday's game because I'm an obsessed lunatic. It just means that I'm giving you a moment of honesty, of clarity. They're just not that good.
And you want Met
fans. And I hope I'm wrong.
And you want Met fans to come with you.
No,
Met fans. You want Met fans to fall into that same loser mentality.
No. I want Met fans to be who they are. If they think this team is winning the World Series, God bless them. If they want to be positive Tommy, be positive Tommy. You just got to be honest. I'm being honest. And I hope I'm wrong. It's not a mental game. It's reality. I mean, I'll ask you. You're an IBO, an independent baseball observer.
Yeah, I like being an IEO more often than that.
What's that?
An independent Evan observer.
You're that, too. You're also an independent Met observer. Are the New York Mets very good?
Yeah, they can be, but they're very average.
They're very average.
They can be. They have all the talent to be good, but they just don't put it together.
They don't have the talent in the rotation. They don't have the talent in the bullpen, dude.
Oh, I mean, until Quintana gave up a grand slam yesterday, I thought he was having a great outing.
Oh, give me a break. He's putting 100 guys on base.
But everybody did. So whose fault was that?
That's Quintana's fault. That's not a good outing, bro. Like, their pitching is so inconsistent. Believe it or not, the most consistent starter they have is David Peterson. What the hell does that tell you?
Manaea's been good, though.
Yeah, in his last start, he goes three innings and throws 95 pitches.
Well, I mean, that's just baseball.
No, Susan. That's the Met rotation. Like, they have a lot of mediocre starting pitchers. They're just a very mediocre team. And trust me, I hope I'm wrong. Mm. I hope that they shut me up and make me look like an idiot. But I think a week ago when I was drinking watching this team, the most honest side of me came out, which is they're not that good.
Alcohol has a way of doing that, too.
Alcohol is sometimes very positive.
Yes,
it
is.
If you do it in a way that's responsible, what it brings out is honesty. Now, that can be dangerous, because if my wife was up and she asked me, does this dress make me look fat, I may have given an inappropriate answer. Same with all of us. So I can't say alcohol is always good with honesty, but when it comes to your favorite baseball team or it comes to your favorite sports teams, I think it's the greatest thing in the world.
I would agree.
So let's be honest. Are you making vacation plans for October?
Yeah, I saw the NBA schedule.
Oh, okay, all right.
I'm working on vacation plans. By the way, that pissed me off, too. That was the other thing that angered me yesterday. I hate the NBA schedule. There's so many things about it that drive me nuts. Can I give you one brief example?
Go ahead.
We're all here. All the sports windows are here. If you're the NBA, if you're the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets, and yes, I'm a season ticket holder of both, you're damn right, can you do us all a favor and not schedule Sunday home games against the NFL? Like, what are we doing?
But they're in the... I mean...
What?
It kind of feels like they're not directly against it, though.
Well, we're directly against it.
They're not. We looked at it yesterday. We thought it was. We thought they're not against our local teams.
They're against the sport. Most humans, most Americans want to watch football.
Make a choice.
Yeah, the choice is going to be football.
You're right.
Unfortunately, that's really the choice.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number
on.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Live from the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center in New York City, it's Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Live from Fanatics Fest here at Javits Center, getting you set for a big day of autographs and buying baseball cards and swinging a bat and entering a wrestling ring and all the other great stuff they have going on here at the first ever Fanatics Fest. We got a lot to get to. Why are you hugging me? Oh, sorry. I thought my boss was, he's hugging me. Means he likes me. We've only worked together for a few months, but sure. We got a lot going on today. I was just told Justin Tuck will stop by in a couple of minutes, so that'll be very, very cool. Yankee baseball tonight, they're taking on the Detroit Tigers. The Mets are taking on the Miami Marlins out at Citi Field, trying to cleanse themselves from blowing a 5-run lead to the Oakland Athletics and being the national embarrassment for one full day. We'll get to some of your phone calls, 888-808-1019. Let's kick it off with Joe, who's calling from Milford, Connecticut. How you doing today, Joe?
Hey. What's up, Joe? Hey, guys. How you doing? Great show, as always. Love the company on the way home. So
appreciate it.
I got a question. I know you're on a lot of medication, Evan.
Yes.
I do have a question for you, though. Why do you think the Mets aren't taken seriously? Because they're pulling minor league stunts. Like, what are they going to do next week? Hannibal Lecter is going to throw out the first pitch for an all-you-can-eat hot dog day? I mean, come on.
I think that's
ridiculous.
Think about it this way, Joe. Anytime there's been, and this fits the, I've said this before to Tiki, that the Jets, the Mets, and the Knicks are three teams in this town who are connected to LOL. And a lot of it was because of their own doing. Now, obviously, the Knicks are coming out of the LOL era.
Yes.
There hasn't really been a lot of LOL Knicks in a while. But if you go back to a lot of the things that caused everybody to laugh at those three franchises, some of it is stuff they bring on their own. Some of it's just bad luck. Like when I mentioned the Sam Darnold ghost game, at the end of the day, what really happened that caused the Jets to be an embarrassment? The microphones were on, and Sam said something, Teak, that probably right. other guys have said, right?
Of course. I mean, maybe not in that exact way, but they have said it. Like, they're just lost. I mean, I got caught on open mics every now and then, saying things like I'm a disgruntled employee
that's right,
in the middle
right.
of games. But you just it's a risk you take. You hope that you have control over it and they don't release it. Sam Darnold just happened to be the I don't know, he was a punching boy for those guys. I mean, they didn't want to... media didn't want to see him successful for whatever reason, so they found every little negative moment and blew it up. Now, it didn't help that you got destroyed in that game as well, so it just made it compounded it. So sometimes those things define you, sometimes they don't. Unfortunately for Sam, it does.
Yes, and what happened that made it worse is that he got destroyed and the Jets got destroyed. So here's my point about the Mets. All right, so they invite somebody to throw out the first pitch that, for those that don't know, may have said something a little vulgar that made her go viral, okay? That's how I would describe it. If the Mets don't blow a 5-run lead yesterday and they win, you're getting a very different me and a lot of other Met fans who probably would be more combative to everyone else mocking the Mets. So what to me made it worse was that they lost a brutal game.
Well, wins and losses cures everything.
Everything.
We know that. It's been that way for decades.
And
for
that's
years.
The big difference. Like, if they would have won that game, I would have come on and said, shut up, who cares? Stop being fake upset. Ooh, did someone throw out the first pitch? Meanwhile, no one pays attention who throws out the first pitch.
All right.
You don't even know.
I didn't even realize there were multiple first pitches that were thrown out.
Oh, dude, I've learned that the last couple of years. There's four or five people. I mean, think about yesterday with Zach Diassi.
Right.
Like, there are fake first pitches and there are real first pitches. To me, the only real first pitch is after the team takes the field. Everything that happens before that is not a real first pitch. You agree with that?
I agree. However, you heard what Tiki said yesterday while you were around?
What'd he say?
He would have told the Mets to go scratch if he was Zach Diassi.
Oh, really? Because you feel like you got...
Yeah.
You didn't get enough attention?
Clearly, Zach was invited before Kaylee was.
Mm-hmm. Who was?
Haley.
Haley.
Who the hell is Haley?
Haley Walsh.
Oh, that's her. I see. This is how little I
get
care.
To know a woman, will you?
I don't care about her.
I do.
Why? Just to stick at the Met fans?
No. How is it stick at Met fans are supporting her?
I don't know if all Met fans.
Some are. It's the stick it to anybody offended. She's working great with dogs.
Which is great to see. Who doesn't love dogs? Let's go to Will calling from
damage.
Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Will?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Love the show.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, Evan, you were talking earlier about how the Mets blew that lead yesterday. They didn't just blew it. They hot-pooed it.
Oh, that's good.
We need the drums.
I'm glad you made that phone call because you're not the first person to say that.
Definitely won't be
like,
the last.
People couldn't wait to make the same freaking jokes over and over again. People thought I was making jokes on the Rico last night by continuing to say they blew a game. No, they blew a game. There's no joke.
Right. We can't reinvent a word for blowing a game. They blew a game.
They blew a game. They blew a game for a myriad of reasons, including, and let this not be forgotten, that this manager, who I like, blew this game 3 days ago when he decided to use Jose Budo in a 7-1 game.
You're right.
So he didn't have his best reliever available to protect a two-run lead after Jose Quintana was taken out after 4 innings. This manager blew the game after he decided to have Francisco Alvarez pinch hit for Jeff McNeil, who has nothing but quality at-bats recently.
Right.
Like, those things contributed to the Mets blowing a game yesterday.
Yeah, but I also feel like he's just trying to find a spark.
Right.
He's just trying to – I get it. He's just trying to find a spark. He knows that you're sliding right now, you know, save for the one win in between. It's been a 5 or 6 game stretch where it's just been bad baseball. He needs to find a spark.
Jeff McNeil had an 11-pitch at-bat earlier in the game. That's not a spark?
Of course it is. But in a moment in the seventh inning, he thought maybe Francisco Alvarez gives us a better chance. Now, he can't hit sliders for nothing right now.
So he can think it all he wants. It's a bad move.
Well, hold on, Evan.
It's a bad move. I'm sorry.
Evan, all year, you have been at the forefront of this, too.
What?
You like that Mendy manages with his gut.
Yeah.
He had a gut feeling.
Okay.
Let me see if this wakes up Alvarez. It didn't work.
His gut didn't work.
Okay. But you also can't have your cake and eat it too.
Well, so
if you like all year that he's gone with his gut and it has worked at times, well, I'm sorry it didn't work out.
So let me
but
ask
get
you this. So then does that mean because I do like the way Mendy's managed with his gut that I'm not allowed to rip a bad move? I'm not allowed to say that. I got to shut my mouth and be a good soldier?
No, you can rip it, but you can't make it as if this is indicative of him being a bad manager.
Right. I didn't say that. I said it was a bad move. He made two horrible moves in this series that contributed. Using Jose Budo in a 7-1 game was not a smart thing. I mean, am I wrong?
No.
Oh, you guys want to defend that? Go ahead.
No.
Fine, defend it. I'm all ears.
He just
positive time. You want to defend
he
using Jose Budo
pitch.
In a 7-1 game?
He just needed the pitch.
I don't
he
buy
had
that anymore.
In a while.
I don't buy that anymore. That doesn't work. He's not entering the rotation. So why is that a thing? You want to defend the manager of the year? Go ahead.
Of course. In a campaign year, I've publicly gone out there and said he should be manager of the year. He's put Budo in these situations before where he's looking to stretch him out. And he's had him in blowouts before. It's not why they lost the game yesterday. Quintana just couldn't get it done.
Oh, that didn't contribute?
No.
If he goes to Jose Budo in the fifth inning instead of Oscar Brazoban and Reed Garrett, and maybe Jose Budo is his exceptional self and gives him 3 scoreless innings, you don't think the game's different?
No, because you have...
How do you know that?
Because Brazoban, Garrett, eventually those guys are going to have to go out there in high-leverage situations.
Not in that game.
You can't have Budo out there in every single game.
I'm not talking about every single game. I'm talking about yesterday.
But you're going backwards a couple games.
I'm not. When Jose Budo came into a game at 7-1, I was pissed off because it didn't make any sense.
But they just blew a 5-0 game yesterday, so they could have blown the 7-1 game with Brazoban.
No, they were losing 7-1.
They were a blowout.
Now, whatever. There's a difference. They were losing 7-1, and he used his best reliever. Who's the Mets' best reliever outside of Edwin Diaz? What's the answer? Guys want to answer it? Guys in the crowd want to answer it?
Available?
Who is the Mets' best reliever not named Edwin Diaz?
Well,
go ahead.
It's Dednell Nunez, but he's not available.
Stop it. He's on the IL. Give
Budo.
Me a guy.
Budo.
It's Jose Budo.
Yes.
So do you think it's a smart baseball move to use your best reliever down 7-1?
I don't know how long, what his pitch log was like. When was the last time he threw?
It doesn't matter. You
it
don't
does matter.
Waste him in a spot like that.
It does matter.
It does when you can't use him for 3 more games, which is essentially what happened. That's bad managing. That's not me saying he should be fired or he's an idiot or anything like that. I'm being critical of 2 moves he made that led, in my opinion, to them losing 2 out of 3 to the Oakland A's. So it wasn't just some girl who's a viral sensation. It was also the manager who hawked to it, if you will. Which, by the way, I still don't even really know what it means. Let's go to...
I wouldn't ask that question next to who you're sitting
Jody, Jody in Warren, New Jersey. What's up, Jody?
Hey, Evan. Hey, guys.
What's up,
big
man?
Big fan of the show, as you know. Wife loves TV. Hey, guys. Hey, Evan, I got to just tell you something.
Yeah.
You've got to get on the positive Tommy bandwagon. I'm on the bandwagon. I'm 66 years old. And not only that, I use positive Tommy in my life now.
I have had things in my life get me down. I'm like, why be negative? Be positive. I am positive, Tommy, until Tommy says, Jody, wait till next year. And then I wait till next year. And that's it. You know, and the other thing is,
he's
Sean,
not wrong.
You have to tell Evan what getting drunk is, because I think getting drunk for him is a shot and a half of tequila.
You're right. You want to see getting drunk? Find me in the MetLife parking lot tomorrow.
Well, so he's sort of right by a couple of things. First of all, I'm a lightweight, so it takes very little for me to get to that stage.
Well, especially if you're drinking mezcal.
I was doing mezcal.
Right.
It was a shot and a half? It was more than a shot and a half.
Okay.
Luckily, the kids were sleeping.
Like a quarter of the bottle?
It was a lot of the bottle.
Like a half of the bottle?
I made a mistake, put it that way.
Did you get some extra hair on your body?
Did I get some? I don't even understand that reference either.
When you drink like...
Is that like Cactua? I don't understand.
You get hair on your chest.
Right. When you drink like really strong alcohol, it puts hair on your chest.
Oh, really? I never knew that, no.
Proverbially.
I mean, here's the truth. The room was turning very fast.
Oh.
So I'm not really...
Yeah, the spins?
Yeah.
Then you did a lot. That's fine.
Yeah. I did do a lot. Now, so as far as that's concerned, yeah, in general, I unfortunately... That's why I don't drink when I go out. I never drink when I go out, because if I have like a half a beer, I'll start to fear a buzz.
Yeah, for those that don't know, when Evan takes us to games, he's the cheap date.
Yeah,
oh, no really doubt about it.
Except he always pays, so...
You like that, right?
Doesn't tip, but pays.
Well, that's your job. Now, as far as using positive Tommy in your life, I think that's a great idea. I do. I think that in life, you should be like positive Tommy. But when it comes to your sports teams, I think you have to be honest. You have to react to what you see. And sometimes what I see is positive, and sometimes what I see is very, very negative. So I will agree with our last caller that for those out there, maybe it's their dating life, maybe it's their marriage life, maybe it's being in school, I think you should adopt the positive Tommy attitude of, I'm going to get a 1500 on the SATs. I got this. I'm going to ask her out. She'll definitely go out with me. I think that's great. But when it comes to our teams, let's not be delusional.
But, Evan, wouldn't you agree that the whole thing yesterday with Hawk Tua has a lot to do with the negativity, the toxicity that surrounds the fan base and the people that hate the team?
No, I think what has to do with yesterday is losing a 5-run lead against the Oakland A's. But that's why I'm angry.
But yeah, I got to agree with Evan here.
Yeah. But, Teak, the knives were already out before the game even started, unless everybody in the Tri-State area is a bunch of prudes. Everybody was getting on the Mets for this when they didn't have any idea what was going on
here. Let me address that.
It's LOL Mets.
Let me address that. So yesterday, as the game was going on and you guys were doing a wonderful radio program, I didn't feel very good. I was laying upside down in my bedroom.
What does that mean, by the way? I heard Boomer and Gio talk about that this morning.
Why were they talking about it?
Because they played several Rico clips.
Oh, yeah. I did talk about it on the Rico.
Okay.
I'm glad the Rico's giving them material.
Yes.
So what it means is, I'll give you this example. So make believe this desk is the bed.
I'm too close if this desk is the bed.
It's okay. I'm not going to do anything crazy. So this desk is the bed, okay?
Do you know the helicopter?
I don't know what that means.
Just okay.
So this is the bed. This is the way you normally sleep.
Uh-huh.
So my head was like backwards. And so I was like upside down. And then I'm watching the game like upside down.
Okay.
And then after every...
So you weren't hanging. You were laying flat.
I was laying flat.
Okay.
But why were you doing that?
To try to get like blood to my head.
You just reversed your body on the same level. You're not going to get blood to your head?
You don't think straight when you're not feeling well, Sean.
Okay.
The point is, when the game started... And I was made aware of the first pitch situation. Just to answer what Tommy said, I did not care. My attitude was, well, okay, who cares? And anyone who was angry, in my opinion, for the most part, had what I like to call faux anger. Like, they weren't really angry. Like, maybe they're angry to make themselves feel better.
It's not affecting their life.
Nobody actually cared. I mean, nobody actually gave a damn about who was throwing out the first pitch. And anyone who says, what do I tell my child? I mentioned this at the top of the show. You lie to them, or you plead ignorance to them.
Oh,
he's got
yeah.
headphones on. He's distracted. Mm-hmm. All right? What are we watching right now? He's watching some kind of video. It's amazing. It's one of the perks of YouTube.
Yes.
I just got to make sure it's the right video.
Perks of iPads.
Yes.
What a great kid, by the way. I've never seen somebody more unfazed by just this environment. Look at
yeah,
this.
No, he's very... Oh, he spent 2.5 hours here already.
Okay.
So all the bright lights and all the excitement.
He's bored by it already.
Yeah, he's like, I've done it. I'm tired.
I'm good.
I need to relax.
Right.
So I wasn't, and I don't think most people, Tommy, to your point, were offended at the beginning. They were fake offended. And then I think once they blew the game, then it became this punchline where even Met fans joined in because it was this embarrassment.
Right, it was just something else. It was something else to get mad about.
Yeah.
They didn't care necessarily about her, but they cared because they lost the game. So they needed something to get mad at.
But
it's like when you get in a fight with your wife about something that happens immediately and she starts bringing up stuff that has completely unrelated.
Dude, that's the worst, receipts, man.
And it's hard to get her to stay focused. Just stay here. Just stay here. You might be right, but let's just argue about this.
But
I know what you mean.
You keep using the word embarrassment. First of all, she's super popular. She's super cool with young people. And if you get the rub off the Haktua girl, what's wrong with that? What are we going to bring out another net or another older player? No offense, TV. Like, can't we bring out something young, cool, popular, and make the Mets young and cool?
No, but you're missing the point. You're arguing if this was a good decision or not. Again, I don't care. My point to you is, the Mets have been mocked now for a 16-hour news cycle. And that's, like, I just want to lose in my own indignity by myself. Like, by myself in a bedroom. That's why I'm so excited for the Brooklyn Nets season. The Nets are going to be an embarrassment, and nobody's going to care. We're never going to talk about it. They're going to suck. And it's just going to be me and Sean and Mike Biseglia talking about it.
And Keith.
And Keith. Hi, Keith. That's it.
That's
it. I love that. I love being bad when no one's around.
We have a very special guest coming up next, Evan.
Who's that?
Justin Tuck will be in the house with us.
The great Justin Tuck. We'll chat with him coming up in a few minutes.
Live from the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center in New York City, it's Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Get the bag, King Walker.
All right, we are live from Fanatics Fest 2024. I was about to say 2025. I'm jumping ahead. I'm already ready for the next year. I don't know why. I know this baseball season's over. Anyhow, joining us right now, we got two legendary Giants sitting right next to each other. You're all used to Tiki Barber. You're bored now by him because he's with us all the time.
Because you hear me every single day on WFA.
Every day, but we love you.
I don't think they can be bored by Tiki, though. I ain't gonna play
And now we're joined by the great Justin Tuck. Justin, so Tiki never bored you in the locker room?
Not at all.
Always entertaining?
Tiki was that type of dude where it's like, I was a rookie and he's had the perfect locker set up.
Yes.
So it's like you had to like walk by his locker to go to like the anything from a bathroom, lunchroom. He had the perfect setup. So it was more like I didn't know any better. I was a 21-year-old kid, and you walk by Tiki's locker, it's like, one day I'm going to have that locker.
Who ended up getting his locker?
Well, we built a new stadium, so no one. Right. He was the last one to have that locker.
That's right. Oh, man.
So you're here. You're doing a couple of panels.
Yeah.
What are your panels that you're doing? One is on NIL, and the other one is?
Well, we're doing the 100 Giants panel
The 100th anniversary.
Yeah, 100th anniversary.
Right. Yeah, it's actually cool. We talked about this a couple of months ago when they had the event. The event was fantastic.
Yeah.
And celebrating 100 years. I know what it's been like to be a Giant my whole career, celebrating Wellington Mara's legacy and the legacy of this team. But talk about the 100th anniversary, what it means to you. I mean, you're a Giant for life as well, obviously a Super Bowl champion. But tell us what that means to you.
Listen, I think, I don't know, I still can't fit in the words, right? If you think about, and you know better than I know, right? But the legacy of the Giants football and all the great names that has worn that jersey. To be a part of something like this is astronomically special. I'm a kid from Kelton, Alabama, man. I don't identify with all of this hoopla around me playing football. As a kid, that's all I knew. That was my pastime. That was the only way I could, you know, I played football to get an education. I played football because I didn't want to stay in the house with my sisters and my brother. So now to be getting this type of exposure from something I did as was a passion and was so fun, you know, it's just hard to put into words. But when I look at that night we were there, just looking at the panel that we were on and seeing the people, I grew up watching LT, you know, Banks, Carson. I grew up watching, you know, obviously as a high school player, I grew up watching Tiki and how he, you know, carried him. These are the type of things that just, I feel like I'm still a kid in this game, or at least I identify as a kid in this game, because those memories are still very vivid of me watching Giants football as a kid from Kelton, Alabama.
What team did you, were you a Giant fan as a kid in Alabama?
I was a Crimson Tide fan, first of all. And then it was like
why did you not go there, by the way?
That's a longer story. A lot longer story.
I mean, you saying you hate Nick Saban because
no,
he didn't recruit
me? Alabama was on probation and Notre Dame. Oh. Alabama was on probation and Notre Dame recruited me on accident. So that's a lot longer story.
Right. But it worked out.
It definitely worked out. And for me, as a Giants fan, I just love defense. I love watching LT. And I didn't know anything about the history of LT, but my dad would tell me all these stories about great Giants and great defense. I grew up, honestly, my three players was LT, Reggie White, and Bo Jackson.
Wow.
So
good choices.
Go.
Yeah.
Did you always, even when you were at what age did you start playing football? Let me start there, actually.
I started playing in ninth grade.
Ninth grade.
I was a basketball player before that.
Okay, so you were basketball was your first love or just the first
Absolutely.
Sport you started playing?
First love, yeah.
Could you have gone pro if you stuck with it?
I don't know if I could have went pro because I didn't – I grew 6 inches in the summer, so I went from playing point guard to playing post in one summer.
Wow.
So everyone thought I was going to be 7 foot. When that was on the trajectory, yes, I thought I could play in the league. But, I played against some phenomenal basketball players in our little small town in Alabama. I think there's four guys who played in the NBA that I played against or with. And I won player of the state twice, so I felt like I was okay. But, I like hitting people more than I like
And you can't do that.
Yeah,
you might still be playing.
I would have been like the Charles Oakley of the league. That'd been me.
When you transitioned to football, because I'm so curious about this, and I asked Dinky too, were you right away a defensive player? Did you move all over? Where did you play?
Again, I grew up in Kelvin, Alabama. We barely made the 11 people on the inside. I think we had 24 people on our team, so I had to play everything. I started, honestly, this is a true story. I started out playing quarterback because I was a baseball player and I could throw the ball. But then someone like me on the other side hit me, and I was like, eh. I don't want to have 6'5", 270 hitting me.
Right.
So I quickly went to linebacker and honestly loved being in the middle of the field. And then when I got to college, literally Greg Madison told me they don't play linebackers, they play rush the ends. And I went to play rush the ends.
Well, that's where I want to go. Yeah. I mean, everybody knows your career here. We don't need to rehash that. I'm more interested, one, because you're a great guy. Your post-career life is just awesome. I mean, I'm serious. For those that don't know, this gargantuan football player works at Goldman Sachs now. I mean, it's not like I'm just going to try to manage people's money. And you made this ridiculous transition into the financial sector. First of all, how did that happen? And then I know how it's going, but tell people how it's going.
I mean, how it happened, again, being in those NFL locker rooms, you see people. I was one of them, right? I was 21 years old with $3 to my name, and then the next day I had seven figures. What do I do with that?
Right.
And you got everybody coming out of the woodwork giving you advice, whether it was good intention advice or predatory advice. I didn't know how to decipher that. So as I continued to my career in the NFL, I constantly got these questions because everyone looked at me as one of the smart guys on the team.
Because you went to Notre Dame.
Yeah. So I constantly got these questions, and it just got me very interested in researching and learning more about it. So I started doing that, and by the time I was in this mood of retirement, I made relationships with everybody you want to make relationships in the financial sectors.
Right.
So, when I retired, I went back to work and got my MBA, and the rest is history. But Goldman called me, and it was based off of something I did in football. But one of their chief executive officers really took a liking to me because I did something for his son at one of these Giants events. And that's kind of how it got started for me as far as being in Goldman. And how's it going? Listen, I think finance is the other F word that's for contact sport. I know I play football, but there's another contact sport in finance. And it's the only thing that I've seen outside of sports that it allows you to feel that rush.
Yeah.
I was talking backstage just a minute ago about some of the trades I've had to do, and obviously I can't talk about them here. But it's like when you're about to hit that keyboard to send this out, it's like your hand is shaking because you got to – this has to be right. This has to be
–
and
so
I haven't had that type of – football for me was just like, hey, I'm playing in the backyard.
It was instinct.
It's instinct.
Yeah, you train, you just go
This is people's livelihoods. This is compliance out the wazoo. This is it's a lot of different things that I wasn't necessarily exposed to as a kid or through sports that has found that same rush.
Yeah, and also, I mean, obviously your notoriety, your celebrity helps in that regard. And I wonder, when people see you,
and they you're their financial advisor.
Yeah.
Are they like, man, or are they like, damn?
It's funny because when I first started, you know, at Goldman, you got to make your own call. They're not giving you anything. Yeah. So it's like you're cold calling and you're going through, you're basically going through the internet searching for people who you can talk to that you don't have experience with or exposure to, or they don't have a Goldman account, et cetera, et cetera. And I was cold calling people and I would, you know, I'll pick up the phone and say, hello, this is Justin Tuck from Goldman Sachs. And I was like, click. I'm like, call back. Hey, this is Justin Tuck at Goldman Sachs Private Wealth. Click. And then I'll shoot a note, email to the email that was on file for us, whatever, and I get an email back. It was like, oh, this really is Justin Tucker. I was like, I said that twice on the phone and you hung up in my face. And everybody thought it was like a prank call.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, for a couple of months there, it was rough sledding. But you know, now it's like, hey, I've been exposed to a lot of things that a lot of our clients won't expose you to. Everybody wants to be in sports. Everybody wants to kind of have an insider in, like, into like what's going on in this world. And so I think that has allowed me to kind of get into some rooms that maybe I shouldn't have got in as early in my career.
And it's really interesting because I see – so I was with J.J. Watt yesterday, and he's one of, like, multiple athletes. Tom Brady did this, that have started investing in sports teams.
Yep.
So J.J. is over at Burnley and
I don't have the same you know, right. my checking and savings are not set up to steal a line from Kevin Hart. My checking and savings are not set up like Tom and J.J.
Right. I'm just saying it's become this new line of investing in sports.
Yeah.
Which is these European soccer teams or other soccer leagues or women's sports, you know, tennis leagues, pickleball leagues, etc.
Tiki has made this a financial acumen.
Well, that's section. What's interesting to me. It's interesting to people. I mean, people love sports, right. Life is very unique.
But it speaks to how powerful sports is. It's a diversified asset. It's something that literally, you know, countries and people who normally wouldn't get together, and it's such a phenomenal thing. And plus, I mean, I don't know how much you guys have paid attention to the valuations in these sports teams are only going up.
Right.
It's like prime real estate. I mean, you know, they're not making any more of them. The NFL is not going to go out and make five more teams.
Nope.
You know? So like, it's prime real estate.
Now, Justin, you are obviously very smart financially. One of the things we loved about you as a Giant fan was how much you hated the Cowboys, hated the Eagles.
You said hated as in like past.
Well, all right, so I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. Okay.
If poised with the choice and the Eagles offered you $1 million more to sign where, would you do what Saquon did and sign with the Philadelphia Eagles?
I'm not going to badmouth Saquon in any regard. It's a business. We all understand that. So I wish him nothing but the best. But for me personally, I did get offered deals from teams that offered me more money than even the Raiders did. And I'm going to be honest with you. The reason why I went to the Raiders is twofold. One, they were in Silicon Valley. And I was getting exposed to something that I knew was going to help me in the transition in my career, because I didn't have those relationships in Silicon Valley. Three reasons. That the Raiders franchise was one of those storied franchises I felt like I could be a part of bringing back. And that was, you know, Charles Woodson talking that nonsense into my head. And three, I knew we weren't going to play the Giants, because we had just played them the year before. I knew I wasn't going to play long enough for us to go through that cycle of playing again. So that was the three reasons why I went to the Raiders. But yeah, I got offers from teams. You know, a lot of jerseys out here of those teams that I could have played for more money. My thing was, I love the fact that the Giants took a chance on me, a guy come out of Notre Dame that had an ACL injury, they didn't know how I was going to respond, et cetera, and my career there, obviously playing with the likes of Tiki, Eli, Michael Strahan, winning two Super Bowls, that part of it, I didn't want to tarnish that.
You know what's funny, I was thinking about, as you were saying this, and I'm not a Giant fan, but tell me if I'm wrong here.
Okay. He's a Jet season ticket holder, by the way.
I am, but...
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
I may be a Jet season ticket holder and scarred and all that, but I was in the building when you guys won the first Super Bowl. And I'll never forget one of the conversations me and Beningo were having during that game. We looked at each other and said, the MVP of this game is either Justin Tucker or Michael Strahan. That's how we felt. Now, I understand why Eli won it, and he deserves it, and he was great.
Sure.
I think that impact would not have been impacted if he played for Dallas or Philly. Like, I think you are so beyond that even if you did make that decision to play for a rival, you'd still be here, and everyone would be like, oh, yeah, That's the multi-time
champ. Because he won two
champ.
Super Bowls.
Yes!
But for me, honestly, and thank you, I appreciate that, but that didn't even venom in my head. It wasn't the fact that I thought that, like, New York was not going to accept me as one of their sons anymore. It was more about being authentic to who I was. And I didn't feel like I could go down to Dallas and be authentically, because I would have been playing the Giants, and I was like, in my brain, it would have been like, I don't want the Cowboys to win.
Wow.
I'm playing against the Giants. I really don't want us to win.
Wow.
And again, I'm not putting any slight. The Cowboys, if I'd have got drafted to the Cowboys, it would have been probably the same against the Giants. But the fact of the matter is this. God put me here. I identify as a Giant. And that will never change, no matter what. You know, Mr. Maron, Mr. Tisch could do something I disagree with. I still will ride or die for the Giants until my last breath here. And, like, anybody who had an argument with me, I guarantee you, one, I'm going to win. I don't know. My lawyer might not want me to say this. I'm going to win physically and mentally on that. So, listen, it is what it is. I wore this blue for a reason. And, you know, but thank you for that. And I do think I should have beat Eli in Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, you're hearing
that. That's what I'm talking
about. You know me and E have that. We go back and forth about that all the time.
You know what's so funny? Like, Tom Brady makes jokes now about Eli, about I couldn't beat Eli. And I'm thinking to myself, for those of us that watch the game, it's not that he couldn't beat Eli. No offense to him. It's because he couldn't beat the Giant pass rush. It's because you gave it. He saw ghosts.
Yeah.
You talk about seeing ghosts?
Yeah,
he saw ghosts that day.
Well, here's how I always end this argument about should I win MVP, should Eli, no matter. We don't win that game without Eli playing the way he played.
Right? Yes.
I could have played the same exact way, and we would have lost that game. I could have had a phenomenal, I could have had three more sacks, and we could have still lost that game. If Eli doesn't do what he did, we don't win the game. So somebody says something like, well, would you have rather won MVP and lost? I'm like, what planet are you from? Like, there's absolutely no way. So the fact that Eli did what he did, we won two Super Bowls. I would rather have two Super Bowl victories than two Super Bowl MVPs and have no trophy.
Amen. Justin, great having you on. Enjoy it.
Thank you for having me.
Justin Tuck, the could have been MVP from one of the Super Bowls against the New England Patriots. I got a lot more coming up. We're here at Fanatics Fest. I had a thought that may cause Sean Morash's, that's a virtual handshake, I had a thought that may cause Sean Morash's head to explode.
Which is?
And Tiki to say, wow, that makes a lot of sense. But when we come back, I tell you why I think the New York Yankees are going to have to make a very difficult decision this offseason, a decision that nobody thought they'd have to make, a decision between Juan Soto and Gerrit Cole.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.